All right, today, this week actually was the Hakamat Metzevah of a dear friend of ours. Her name was Beth Isaacs. I don't know, Rina's good friend. She's not here, but you can tell that I started this way. And so it got me thinking about Hakamat HaMetzevah. Her name was Basha Bat Yosef, so we'll learn in her memory. And it got me thinking about that because it's a topic of this week's Parsha. And so we're going to learn the story of the passing of Rachel and her burial, which is very relevant to us. We'll see, has a lot of critical messages to us, and it should be an aliyah for the neshama of Beth as well, who was just a good friend and a wonderful woman. And from our understanding, she passed well before her time. Okay, so if you'll turn to this is where to start. Let's start at Lamed Hey Tet. We're going to read through a few psukim, and we're going to get to the story about Rachel. And as you all know, the story of the passing of Rachel is really, it's a tragedy upon a tragedy, because Rachel, she sacrifices so much. She gives up herself for her sister that Leah is married first, and as the Midrash says, she gives her the secret code, and then later on she suffers and she doesn't have children until finally she has Yosef. And now they're on the way back to Eretz Canaan, and she's ready to, build their life together, like they had the 7 years, and then they, Yosef was born, and now they went back to Eretz Canaan, and like, okay, we're going to settle. You know what I'm saying? We're going to build our house, we'll make Aliyah, we'll build our house, and then she's pregnant, and she has this baby. It's just sad upon sad, and it's incumbent upon us to try to understand, try to come to terms with how she was buried and why she was buried the way she was. Vayira am a perfect lamed hey pasuk tet. Vayira Elohim el Yaakov od bevo'o mi Padan Aram vayibarachoto. So Yaakov, they're on their way back to Padan, and Hashem blessed, appeared to Yaakov there, and he blessed him. Vayomer lo Elohim shimcha Yaakov lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov ki im Yisrael yeshemecha vayikrat shemo Yisrael. Your name is no longer Yaakov, it's Yisrael. Yisrael will be your name, and he called his name Yisrael. Now, I'm just skipping to the Tzukim just because I want to use it as an introduction to our shiur, understanding all the while that it's another shiur in and of itself, as it always is. Okay? Vayomer lo Elohim, ani el Shaddai prei urevei, goy ukahal goyim mimcha yitzeu, malachim michalatzach yitzeu. You shall be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a community of nations will come from you. Okay, and kings will come from your loins. You get the land and your children afterwards. God left him from the place that he spoke to him. Pasuk Yudal. Vayatzev Yaakov matseva b'makom asher diber ito matzevet aven. Yaakov established, what's a matseva? Now I want to slow down a little bit. What's a matseva? It's not a tombstone.
A stone.
A monument. Right, Yaakov established a monument, okay? Similar to Matzevet Aven, Vayasech Aleha Nesech, Vayitzok Aleha Shamen. Okay, and he poured upon it Nesech. Nesech is usually a wine libation, and he poured upon it oil. In essence, he made it into an altar. Where else do we find that Yaakov made a Matzeva? Well, the last time Yaakov made a Matzeva, Beit El, where is he now? Next pasuk, Vayikra Yaakov et Shem HaMakom, Asher Diber Ito Shem Elohim, Beitel. So it's very fast. And by the way, this is the place, this is exactly the place where he was from before.
Thank you.
Okay? You're very welcome. Okay? You weren't here, but we're doing the sheer memory of Beth, as you soon see why. Okay? Yeah.
It's not her yard,
so
yeah.
But there had to come out of my tzeva this. You'll see why. Okay. Vayis'u mi Beitel. Now we're going to start, go a little slower. So it's the closing of a circle. He started in this place, and he ends in this place. He started by taking the rock, which is the rock that was under his head, and by Yitzok Shemin Alav, and he poured oil on the rock. You know what I'm saying? And now he's doing exactly the same thing again, in the same place. It's almost like I started here, and now I've completed my journey. So the reason I wanted to bring this in is because it's sort of a symbolic completion that he left Eretz Yisrael, and this was, if God will be with me, and I develop myself to Hashem, and now he comes back to this very same place. He receives the blessing of God. He receives the gift of Eretz Yisrael, the inheritance of the land of Israel. And, okay, let's go. After all that, next pasuk. Vayis'u mi Beit El. They travel from Beit El.
Didn't he already call it Beit El before?
Yeah, he did.
So why does it
Again, I said it's a shiur in of itself. The whole, it's an introduction. But you're absolutely right. It's a very good observation. Wasn't he already called Yisrael by the angel?
Right.
Right. So when did this happen? How did it happen? It's all good questions. Remind me next year. Okay?
My memory ain't that good.
Right. Vayisu mi beit el. Vayihi. Now we're going to start going much, much slower. Vayisu mi beit el. Vayihi od kivrat haaretz lavo efrata. Anybody want to try without looking at the English?
Without looking at Rashi?
Vayihi od kivrat haaretz lavo efrata. Lavo efrata we know. They're on the way to Efrat. By the way, this is not necessarily Efrat that we know today, which is built 20 years ago. Right? They built Efrat. Why'd they call it Efrat Efrat?
It's like Messianic.
Right, but why'd they call that place Efrat? The reason they call that place Efrat is because it's after Beit Lechem on the same road. Right? There's no, unless they there's some archaeological thing that I'm not aware of. You know what I'm saying?
Efrat.
What?
It's proximity to Kever
Rachel. Meaning, Kever Rachel is on the way from Beit El, which is what?
Hebron.
No. What's Beit El in the Torah? Which is the Beit El that he went to that he called Beit El?
Har Moriah.
It's on the way from Har HaMoriah to Efrat. So now if you want to travel from Yerushalayim to Efrat, you go Derech
Hebron.
Derech Beit Lechem. You go literally on Derech Beit Lechem. And the reason they call that Derech Beit Lechem is because it's Derech Beit Lechem. You go that way. Okay? That's why it's called, they called it Efrat. That's not necessarily the same Efrat that we have today. What in the world is Kivrat Eretz, Kivrat Haaretz, Lavo Efrata? So now since you're all stumped, it's okay, because all the Rishonim are stumped as well. And they have no idea, actually, what it means. They really take a bunch of different stabs at it. Okay, look at Rashi for a second. Kivrat Haaretz, Menachem Kipiresh, Lashon Kabir. Lashon Kabir, Kabir is strong, great. Ribui Mahalach Rav. It's very far away. So according to Rashi, Menachem, who's Menachem, by the way? You learned this in your introduction to Bible? Menachem Ibn Labrat. Okay, one of the Sephardic linguists before Rashi, Menachem, I think. Look it up, okay? Okay, so that's what Rashi's quoting. What? You didn't learn this in Intro to Bible?
No.
Did you take Intro to Bible?
No.
That would be a problem.
Cool.
Oh. You didn't mention Menachem? Okay. So Rashi says, according to Menachem, it's Kivrat Eretz, a very far distance. We have a problem with that. What's our problem with that? What's our problem with that?
What's the far distance?
No, it seems like Kivrat Eretz. Vayi Kivrat Eretz, Lavo Efrata. So that means he traveled very far towards Efrat. And then Vatel and Rachel, and then the whole story happened. What's our problem with Rashi's initial shot?
It's going out of this one?
No. Think about what we know now.
He's not far from.
How far is?
Not so far.
Right, it's very close. How far is Kever Rachel from Yerushalayim?
Not so far.
Down the road.
Down the now we know it's in Yerushalayim. I mean, it's Kiman in Yerushalayim. So that shot is difficult, as we'll soon see. Very, very. The aim shoot so Rashi continues. Agada. So the Midrash says, "Bizman she'aretz chalula u'minukevet kekivra." Kivra is a sieve. Kivra, kivra. How do you have it? Okay. So when the land is sieve-like, shanir matzui astav avar, the fall is gone. Vashrav adayin loba. So it's kivrat eretz is not a distance; rather, it's a time of year. Vayehi o kivrat eretz lavo efrata. The only problem with saying that. What's the problem with that Midrash? Who cares? What's the difference? What time of year it is? Okay. The ein zeh pshuto shel nikra. So then Rashi goes on and tells you he thinks. I'm just going to skip. He thinks it's 1 second. Right. It's a midat karka. It's a distance. Kivrat eretz. The only problem is
we don't know
how far it is. Whatever. Okay. Look at Ramban for a second. Those of you who had Ramban, I'll steal this from you. Says the Ramban. He quotes Rashi. See Ramban on the, if you have it on this one, the Tafresh Nun Zayin, see Kibrat Eretz on Tet Zayin. Skip to the third paragraph. It's a great Ramban, just to be aware. He quotes the first paragraph and he says, V'anachon, the second paragraph, Mashal Chashabo Rav David Kimchi, Ki Hakaf L'dimyon, Ve'ena Sharshid. It's not Kivrat, Ela Kivrat. Like the Vrat Eretz.
What's a Vrat?
What's a Vrat? Okay? Upirusho, Shiguma Alach Eretz, like Brat Eretz. And he says, what does that mean? Min haboker ad le'et ha'ochel. The amount of time it would take you to walk from the sunrise until the time to eat. I guess it depends on when you eat. Okay?
20 minutes.
Okay? It's a long way. That would sound like a long way until you, the morning meal.
Aruchat
Eser. Exactly. Aruchat Eser. So how long would it take? How far could you walk from sunrise until Aruchat Eser? How far could you walk? Far. A few miles. Good distance. 50 miles an hour. 10 miles you could walk. Now the Ramban says,
but you'd be hungry.
You'd be hungry. Yeah. That's why it's a morning meal.
They had eight in those days. It was different.
When did they? Okay.
They didn't have three meals a day.
So it's even later, the morning meal.
It's
later. Yeah. Okay. Ze shekatavti, the Ramban says, ze katavti tchila. He says, that's what I originally wrote. Ve'achshad shezachiti ubati ani liyushalayim. He says, oh, now that I came, I made aliyah. Shevach le'el hatov v'hameitiv, baruch Hashem. Ra'iti ve'inai she'ein min kivrat rachel le'beit lechem afilu mil. He says, now I got to Yerushalayim, I went to Kivrat Rachel, and it's between that and Beit Lechem is like nothing. So my pshat is wrong. I have to give a new pshat based on
the reality.
The reality. That's even day Eretz Yisrael. I had to share with you that Ramban. You know,
that's
he said,
so
you know, like that was all theory. You know, okay, we could try to figure out what it was. I came to Eretz Yisrael.
He knows what he's talking about, or he doesn't.
What do you mean?
But he hadn't been to Eretz Yisrael before. He hadn't been.
He didn't. It was okay, but he's.
This is what we call. This is what we call in the academic world, Limudei Eretz Yisrael. It's a shiluv of Torah and geographia and Tanakh.
Based on what the text says.
That's what we call.
But now that he sees the reality,
understand.
Oh, that doesn't make sense.
Right. Don't they have a megama in Yisrael? Either he knows what he's talking
about, he doesn't. I don't get this.
That's the yeshiva in.
It's just
making
it
awesome.
What?
South of Hebron?
Yeah.
No, that's like their thing.
No, a lot of Upanot. Kish.
There
Eretz
is
Yisrael. It's a Megama in high school.
Yeah.
So you can study Eretz. This is Eretz Yisrael.
I
disagree with your premise. I disagree with you. Mean you think everything he's trying to figure out to the best of his ability, using the sources available to him, what the closest interpretation to the Pshat is.
So none of this is just. This is logical, that's logical, and that's it. This nothing is with
not
Hashem's input.
But see, if everything is Hashem's input, then how can you have a machloket? Because if everything is God divine, they're using the best of their understanding, according to their understanding of the words, and they're taking into account the midrash.
They could be wrong.
It's irrelevant if they're right or wrong.
What does that mean, right or wrong? Like, we're trying to understand words. Words have meaning. Right? All words are subject to interpretation.
I always thought what their opinion is not just like a man, like a man's opinion, but like also.
No, it's a Tamir Chacham's opinion. That's the God input, is that these men have spent years and years and years connecting to Hashem through learning and studying his Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come to it from that kind of an understanding and that kind of a connection. It's not that Hashem is not part of the equation, but he's not putting answers into their head.
At the end of the day, they could be wrong because they didn't know certain amount of information.
Correct.
That's what
Yeah, correct. Yeah. In turn, when you're dealing with literal explanation, in terms of this.
I mean, you want to get more. I don't think it's so controversial to say that when a rabbi tells you something, it's not from God on high. It's you're asking him to use his insight and his understanding, but there's no guarantee that he's right. Of course not. Wow. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I think. A careful rabbi will say, if you ask me my opinion, you're talking about opinions. Here we're talking about Pshat and Chumash, okay? He's using the tools available to him. Rashi did the same thing. Menachem says this, and I say that. It's a very hard word to understand, based on linguists. If you look at Ibn Ezra says, listen, I have to tell you something. He says, Yitachen, look at Ibn Ezra, Yitachen lihiot hakaf lidamot, kaf, like, kivrat, like dvrat. He says, but, v'yeh brat, Midat HaMelech. And the word, it's like brat. What's a midat? It's a midat. It's a measurement. Like kivrat. And everybody back then knew what a brat was. It's like today, in 100 years, if you say it's 3,000 yards, you know, an average football field was 100 yards. And our children's children are going to say, what the heck is a yard? Because it doesn't have any meaning. Okay? So Ibn Ezra says, what?
What is a yard? Exactly.
3 feet.
3 feet. 3 feet is a yard.
One meter,
that's
one
foot.
Three
of those are
the
yard.
What's a foot?
Exactly.
It has
no. It's totally subjective. Okay. And the Ibn Ezra says, "V'ein rea lo b'mikra." What does he mean? "Ein rea lo b'mikra." It's a unique word in Tanakh.
But but Rashi quotes right. a pasuk from somewhere else.
Similar words that aren't in the same context.
What's that? Kivrat okay. Aretz.
Kivrat. No, he's saying Barat. Kivrat Aretz, he's saying. He says it's a different word. It's a unique word in Tanakh. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, a careful rabbi will say, you know, don't do, won't say, do XYZ. And we'll say, a person, you, these are the considerations I think that you should take into account when you make your decision. Because, you know, unless you really think that what you say comes from on high, and then you're wading into dangerous territory. But we digress. Okay. They're in Kivrat Eretz.
Get your own Chumash.
Get my own, this was my Chumash.
No, but are you finished with the Ramban?
Oh, I'm finished with the Ramban. Okay, fine.
Get your own
okay,
Chumash.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Wait a second. Lost my place. Yeah, here we are. Vatelet Rachel, Rachel gave birth. Vatekash belidita, and she encountered difficulty in her birth. Vayhi behakshota belidita, and it was when she was having difficulty having birth. Vatomer laham yaledet al tiri, ki gam ze lach ben. Do not be afraid, for this too is for you a son. Question?
How does that allay any fears?
Right. How does that allay any fears? How does it make her feel better?
She wanted a son. She died for a son.
She had a son.
She already had a son. Remember, this is her second son. She has Yosef.
Yeah, so, but she wanted.
Do not be afraid. So why would that not make her not afraid? And your first child should be a male child. Nobody gets that reference?
No. Princess Mark.
No, you never saw The Godfather? It's in the beginning of the period. No. Okay. Anyway,
that's
sorry.
What?
That's right, Menchia.
Basically, telling her you accomplished whatever you were supposed to. You were supposed to bring two boys to the world.
So you think she knew she was dying? The midwife knew she was dying.
Know when they came into Eretz Yisrael that she would die.
No.
Why?
Oh, one second. You're channeling a midrash that asks a midrash that the Ramban quotes that asks a question. Why did Rachel die? Why did Rachel have to die? So the Ramban says, because, and this, by the way, goes connected to what Ramban says about coming to Eretz Yisrael, he says, because all the Avot kept the Torah. Oh, if all the Avot kept the Torah, how is it possible, right, that Yaakov would be married to two sisters at one time? So he says, that goes according to my theory, that all the mitzvot in Chutz La'aretz is just practice. So in Chutz La'aretz, he didn't have to keep that minor mitzvah. But once he came to Eretz Yisrael, what? He was a big Zionist. Yeah, he was a huge Zionist. Okay, but, you know, that's not so pshati. You know what I mean? That's a pretty difficult to assert that she died.
Well, Yaakov did curse her.
What?
Yaakov did curse her.
Ah, we'll get to that too. That's another thing why she died. Okay? I actually didn't want to tackle that question because how are we to know why she died? You know what I'm saying? It's not, I think this is a generally good, what?
Everyone dies.
Everyone dies, and it's not for us to decide, it's for us to accept. So I'm not, no, I believe that. It's not for us to decide. We have to have faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does according to his grand plan. There's no good answer. And no matter what I'm going to tell you, you know, for Rachel, she is not Zocha, she didn't suffer enough, she didn't give of herself. Why her, not Leah? You know what I'm saying? Who are we to decide one way or the other? So I understand that you're quoting Ramban, and I understand that Midrash, you know what I'm saying, and it's because it's great zchut, but I think it's dangerous ground.
Where did we ever find she got schar for what she did?
She had two children.
According to the Midrash, she listened.
Yeah,
according to that.
Well, get to the Midrash, don't give my shear away. Okay. She suffered a lot, okay? Al Tiri. So some Mefarshim simply say that a male child, right, it was known or believed that a female child brought greater complications in birth than a male child. Whether that's true or not, biologically, that's what they believed. So that's what the midwife said. Do not fear, because Yazel Lach Ben, because you're having a child, a son.
Will be easier.
What?
I was thinking she knew that maybe the baby might have been breached.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing also.
Further complicates the matter.
Okay. Vayihi, and she's clearly, and so now we see from the next pasuk, Vayihi b'tzeit nafsha, ki meta. She was dying. As she was dying, Vatikra shemo ben oni. She called the child ben oni. Vayikra, v'aviv karalo binyamin. And the father called him Binyamin. This is unusual for a number of different reasons.
What's ben oni?
Ben oni. First, let's understand. Ben oni, Rashi. Yudchet. Okay. Is that our path?
No,
I was outside. Oh, they're fixing. I was doing the roof. Ben Oni. Ben Sa'ari. Oni. What is the word Oni? From mourning, from pain. She calls this is the sun.
Is it the same shortage as Aninut, or is that with an
I? Yes, it's similar. Onim, from Aninut. My mourning.
She was in labor. Anything woman is in labor, it's like the squat. Like you could say, I'm never going to touch my husband again. When you convert, it's like...
Well, they say that's why you have to bring a korban chatat. Like a woman has to bring a korban. Okay, you're asking, very good, Lori. She's asking another question. The question is, why do you change the name? Because in all other instances, when the mothers always gave the name, you should call, I have another child, Yosef Liod Ben, Yehuda Kain Odeh, Batikvat Shemo Yehuda. They always follow the name of the mother. And you would think that here,
downer. A way for a child to be right. I mean, he's every time someone
don't get me wrong,
name,
but why? Look at all the other names, right? Shimon Hashem heard me,
Yisachar.
Right? Yisachar, which is
my prize for trading flowers.
Alave Od Ben, I should have another child. So she called him. You know, my husband should love me.
Every time he's praying, he reminds him when his mother died in birth.
Ah, hey, so it was too painful. You're saying. What's that?
I mean,
Binyamin. So then what does Binyamin mean? Why did he... See, we have a number of questions. Why did he change the name? And what does the new name mean? Okay? Says Rashi.
Why does it have to mean anything? Why can't it just be a name that...
It must be a significant name.
They don't just get a name. But they picked it?
I disagree with you. I think that some of these names existed. And they... It's like a nice kind of... You know, like we do it today also. You know, and it's a nice...
So the grandmother's name was Clarabel, so we named her, you know, Kayla?
Yes.
Really?
I think that there is...
So he picked Benjamin. He picked Benjamin because it was close enough to Ben Oni and some
without
other kid's name was Benjamin
painful.
Then?
Yes. Yes, without having the painful association.
I choose to imbue the meanings of the names of the Shvatim with a little bit more than
except
just
they
the
don't
like
all
the
make
name.
Sense grammatically, and there are Parshanim who say what I'm saying. I'm not
no,
just saying it from
by itself. It's written there that all the names that were given. Why they were
but
given.
Grammatically, I'm saying, grammatically, it doesn't. It often doesn't fit, and it doesn't make sense, which is why I'm saying that these are names that existed, that they chose, and they ascribed significance to the name.
Rashi. Binyamin. Binyamin. Nir'eh be'einai. Lefi, why is it called Binyamin? Lefi shehu levado nolad be'eretz Kenan. This was his only child born in Eretz Kenan, in Eretz Yisrael. Shehi b'negev.
Sabra.
He's a Sabra. Sha'adam ba me'aram naharayim. They're in the Negev. When a person comes out of Naharayim, Kamosha amar b'negev be'eretz Kenan, haloch v'nasoa ha'negba. Go tell Yama b'kidma. Right? Tzafona b'negba. Who said that, by the way? Ufaratza Yama b'kidma, tzafona b'negba. Right. God said it to Yaakov. Bin Yamin, ben Yamin. A child of the right. Lashon, tzafun v'yamitzafon, ata v'yamin ata bira atam. The fika humale, Binyamin. Okay? How does he train? Can you give me the English just to make sure I get it exactly correct on that
okay.
Rashi?
Binyamin,
yes.
Binyamin. Benjamin means son of the south, as in the expression the north and the south.
Ah.
Thou hast created them.
Says Rashi, what did he name his son? Just like we named our daughter, Moriah, because she was born in Yerushalayim. So he's like, he was born in Eretz Yisrael, so this is Binyamin, reminding him of his new birthplace. So he literally changed the name. Wasn't Ben Oni. He picked a new name to remind him of this place that this child was born.
But it's like her name that she gave related to her situation.
Uh-huh.
The name that he gave related to the geography.
He totally
situation.
Changed the name. But
that's more
Ben Oni. But then Ben Oni
sound
kind of similar. Clarabel, Kayla. It doesn't sound similar at all. Ben Oni, Ben Yamin.
Start with Ben.
Yeah, it does sound the same. It does sound the same.
And the other Nun.
Okay.
Yod and Nun.
Vatamat Rachel and so and.
Why is one Ben Oni and one Ben Yamin? Why did you change it from Ben to Ben?
Yaakov Bin Nun, Ben Nun. I'm not really sure. I think that's a grammatical thing. It's not significant. We see sometimes Bin can also be Ben. Okay.
Or my answer would fit nicely here too.
I don't like your answer. Okay. Yes.
I've looked it up with Sophia, and I've never heard anything like this. I think it's almost a little bit too radical to say it, but it almost seems like maybe she had twins.
Oh, awesome. Go on. Awesome.
It seems that maybe Rachel named the son that maybe didn't make it, Ben Oni, and that Yahweh did.
Well, that's a little too radical. It, on the pasuk of, 1 second. Very good, very good. Oh, you're not making anything up. You're very good. 1 second, 1 second, 1 second.
Rashi says,
Rashi says it. Look at Rashi for a second. Gamze. Look at Rashi. Ki gamze nosaf lecha al Yosef. So the pshat is this gam. What's the gam? This one is also a ben. An addition. Rabotenu darshu im kol shevet with every shevet noldat teuma. Every child according to the Midrash had a twin sister. The im binyamin noldat teuma yitera. That's the gam. So
if it was a female, what? Then it wouldn't have been bad.
Im binyamin noldat teuma yitera, an additional sister. That's why it was so hard. Don't worry. The reason you had two children, and she's like, oh my God, this is like never ending. It's like, no, it's okay. You're having another child. Can you imagine? She had carried triplets. Can you imagine such a... You can?
Mm-hmm. Can't imagine.
Okay. Let's go back. Vatamat Rachel. So Rachel died, tragically, very sadly. Vatikaber b'derech Ephrata, hi beit lachem. And she was buried b'derech Ephrata, on the way to Ephrat. He beit lachem. That is beit lachem. Okay, we already know that it's b'derech Ephrata.
It does make sense at modern day Ephrat, because if they're coming from the south, you would come to Ephrat before you came to Beit Lechem.
They're coming from the north.
Why are they coming from the north?
Because remember, they're coming from
because he was born in the south.
He's on his way south. He's coming from the north.
Oh, he's
yeah, he's going down. Down he's coast. Going down north. Okay. Can you do me a favor? Text Yom Goodman. Text him. Send him the shir. I'll be finished at 9:30. Okay.
Can I do it in English?
Yeah, you can do it in English. Okay. So we see second, yeah, in messaging. We see Lavo Ephrata, the same idea of Ephrata, Bederech Ephrata. So what's the question in this pasuk? She died, we know. Vatikaver Bederech Ephrata, hi beit lechem. What's the question? The obvious question.
Which pasuk?
Instead of? Correct. Why did he bury her there? This is the question that we have to struggle with, the topic of the Shia. Where did he bury her in essence? Where did he bury her? On the side of the road. And it says that specifically, Bederech Ephrata, he buried her on the side of the road. Really? Really? And then the next pasuk, he buried her right, next pasuk. Vayatzev, yeah, really? How long was Yaakov, after Yaakov died, was he buried?
Quite a while.
Why? What did they do?
To go to Eretz Canaan.
Yeah, they brought him to Eretz Canaan. We're going to come back to this. They brought him to Eretz Canaan. They entombed him. They embalmed him first for 40 days. Right, nowadays, it's considered critical to bury right away. That's, you know, it's a relatively modern, quote unquote, in terms of hundreds of years, phenomenon. But in the time of the Avot, it was not considered apparently so critical, especially in consideration of being buried at Eretz Canaan. Okay? Vayatzev Yaakov Matseva al Kavurata. Yaakov placed a matseva. What's a matseva?
A
monument on her grave. He matsevet kvurat Rachel ad hayom. I just want to point out, the reason I'm pointing this out is, it's unusual.
Okay.
It's unheard of back then to put a matseva on a grave. Why was it unheard of? What? Give me the example before this that we see, or after this that we see, that someone placed a matseva on the grave. In Tanakh.
Okay.
You can't.
Okay.
Why?
He's also saying the future.
Why would he place, simply, very simply, why would he put a very simple reason? Why would he put a matseva on her grave?
So we know where it is.
Right, why? It's in the middle of the road. Right? So how else would you know where she was buried unless you placed a monument? Okay? It's interesting, I just want to point out, the reason I started where I started was because we have three matsevot that Yaakov places. One when he starts his journey, another when he finishes his journey, and in there. This matseva. Okay? So I don't know if there's a connection between the matsevot, but he's a matseva placer. He does monuments. Okay? And then the first monument is a significant place. Is that a significant place?
Wait,
what? At the burial, at the monument. And the language of He Matzevet Vurat Rachel Ad Hayom is very, very striking. Okay? This is the Matzeva of until today. that's something significant. You find that every so often in Tanakh. But why is it significant? And you were going to say the Midrash.
No, I was just going to say about Yaakov that perhaps he feels the need to set Matzevot where he is because of his wandering life, that he didn't have stability. I mean, Matzevot comes from the word stability, Yitzivut.
Mm-hmm.
And that he didn't have stability. First he was home, and then he was sent away, and then he's coming back again, and that the Matzevot is kind of like a grounding of him mm-hmm. to kind of say, okay, this is my place, because the Matzevot he's setting up are all in Eretz Israel.
Right.
Even though he's leaving, you know, even though he left and he came back, this is where I consider my place.
Okay, we're still stuck with the critical question. Why in the world did he bury her on the road?
On the side of the road.
Right. Where should he have buried her? Arach Machpelah, which is how far away?
Down the road.
Down the road, not far at all. Why? So, this question, she asked to be buried there?
No, I shouldn't have told him to.
This question is something that not only did the Mefarshim struggle with, it's a question that Yaakov himself struggles with.
And Yosef Ramah.
Very good. Where do we see that? Look at Parshat Vayechi. Turn to Parshat Vayechi. Okay? Yaakov says, he asks a very simple question. Okay? Look at Parshat Vayechi, Perek Mem Zayin. Mem Zayin, Pasuk Lamed. We'll start from there. No, no, the Pasuk before that, Chavtet. Chavtet. The very beginning of Vayechi. Just during the very beginning of Vayechi. Pasuk Chavtet, the Pasuk before that. Vayikruvu Yimei Yisrael Lamut. See where I am? Do the next Pasuk. Skip to the second Pasuk in the Parsha. Vayikruvu Yimei Yisrael Lamut. He was going to die. Vayikra Levono Yosef. Vayomer Lo. Imna Matzati Chen Beinecha. Simna Yadcha Tachat Rechi. Place your hand on my hip. Swear. This is the swear, the oath. Vasita Medi Chesed Vemet. Al Na Tik Pereinu Bimitzvay. Don't bury me in Egypt, rather. Where do I want you to bury me? In the place of my fathers. I'll do it. Swear to me. And he swore to him. Man, it's not enough for Yosef to say, I'll do it. Swear to me. So why does Yaakov, why is he...
Because he doesn't want to...
His guilt.
He thinks that there might be a...
Son.
What?
Son.
Okay, let's skip a bit. Very good, let's skip a bit. Okay, skip to the next parak, Pasuk. Hey, we're just going to go. Ba'ata. Ba'ichi, Pasuk K, right there. In Pasuk K. Pasuk K, parak Memche. 48, Pasuk K. Ba'ata shnei banecha anu lechimi be'eretz Mitzrayim ulbuye lecha Mitzrayim alihem. Ephraim u'menashe kibuvim v'shimon yuli. Your children will be like my children. Your sons are going to be Shvatim. It's a big thing. Not a small thing. And their birthplace, your birthplace, right? You were born after there. They will be for you based on their father. Meaning they get a Nachala in Eretz Yisrael just like you would. It's a double portion. This is a huge deal. Pasuk Zayin. Va'ani bevoi mipadan. Meta alai Rachel be'eretz Kenan v'derech be'od kivrat eretz lavo Ephrata. Yeah, that word again. Very interesting, right? And I, when I came from Padan Aram, the word, what word gets to me?
Alai.
Rachel died on me. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Ba'od kivrat eretz lavo Ephrata, a short distance from Ephrat, va'ekbarei Hashem b'derech Ephrat hi beit lachem, and I buried her there. So the first thing you have to ask yourself is like, this pasuk is in the middle of nowhere, really. It's not in the context. He should have said it back when he asked to be buried in beit lachem, but now for some reason he's dying. Right? This is after he's about to die, you know. And Yosef comes back. He's about to die. Because it says, later on, when he's about to die, they call him and say, quick, come. And Yaakov says, he wants to give a bracha at the end. He just throws this out there. That, I had to bury her. She died and I had to bury her. So the Mefarshim asks a simple question. Why did you have to bury her there? Look at Rashi. Okay? The Rashi is a very famous Rashi, quoting a very famous Midrash. On Pasuk Zayin. Let's start at the beginning of Pasuk Zayin. Va'ani bevoi mipadam. Says Rashi, "V'afal pisha ani matriach alecha laholicheni likaver be'eretz Kanaan." Says, "Yes, I'm asking you to make the tircha, to take the trip. It's a big tircha to bury me in Eretz Kanaan. V'lo kach asiti le'imecha. But I didn't do it for your mother. I.e., Yosef, I know what you're thinking. You're asking me to do a big deal. Hello, Dad, you couldn't do this for my mother." Shaharei meita samuch lebeit lechem, because she died close to Beit Lechem. Kivrat eretz, midat eretz, the same. Behem alpayim ama, a very short distance. Here Rashi says it's a very short distance. Let's skip to the next Rashi. Va'ekpare hasham. Lo holachtia afidu lebeit lechem lachnisa la'aretz. He says, why don't you just like, you buried her on the road. Just take her to the city, buy a, like, you know, go to the local whatever and buy a burial plot. What, like, why? V'yadati sheyesh belibcha alai. Very powerful words. He's, I know you're upset about this. I have always known you have been upset about this.
He doesn't say that. Yesh belibcha alai.
Alai.
The way he says it.
You're mad at me.
Yeah,
why is that a connection to? Why is that a connection to? The word alai. Meita alai. Interesting. Avalda. No. No. I buried her there, al pi dibur, not because I wanted to, because God told me to. Right, you're happy with that. That's a, you know, okay. Shetehe le'ezra lebaneha, that she should be there. Very famous midrash, right? As an assistance to her children. Kesheyegale otam nevuzadran, when they will be exiled by the Babylonians. V'yihiyu ovrim derech sham, and they'll pass by that way. Yatzat Rachel al kivra ubocha umevakeshet alehem rachamim. Right, Rachel went and she cries and she asked for rachamim. Shene emar kol barama nishma. You know, that's the pasuk. Nehi b'chi tamurim. It's bitter tears. Rachel mevaka al banea me'ana lihinachem. Kol amar Hashem. There is a reward for your pe'ula. For, what is her pe'ula? Her actions. Yesh zachar for your suffering. For your suffering. Ne'um Hashem. V'shavu banim l'gbulam. Your suffering is a reason. There's a reason for it. I will pay you back for it. Kadosh Baruch Hu Meishiva, that's what it says. God who answers her, Yesh Sachar Lefu Lateich Nim Hashem, V'shavu Banim Ligvulam. I had to bury her there. For whatever reason, that's difficult for us to understand. Her placement there brings out a certain, like when she sees the Jewish people passing by her, somehow it brings out this ability in her to call out to God in a way. The Midrashim are actually much, much more powerful than that. If you look at the Midrashim in Eicha, the Midrashim when the Jewish people are being exiled, like God calls and says, "Will somebody say something, please?" And the Torah comes out and the Torah says, you know, well, God, please. And God looks at the Torah and says, "Really? Really? They care about you so much? Sorry, they don't care about you. I can't help you." And Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov, and the Midrash talks about the whole alphabet comes out. Like every letter of the alphabet comes out and says, "Please, God." And God was like, "Sorry, Aleph, Anuchi Hashem Elokecha." They didn't do that one. No way. Sorry. And in the end, there's nobody. Avram comes out, and Yitzchak comes out, and Yaakov, and they're all pleading. And finally, Rachel comes out. And as Rachel mevakah banan, God is like, you know, the mother crying her tears, and she suffered so much. And no, I'm saying
she
wrong.
She says, yes. Hashem, if I, who was replaced by my sister, yeah, was able to not be angry at her, you know, and not be angry at Yaakov, not be angry at her, and I was under the bed and I was speaking on her behalf. You, who were replaced by these other gods, I know what you're feeling, but get over it. That's what she says to him. I was in your place, because she's only one of them, you know.
Right,
I was
so that's
in your place,
that.
I was replaced, I was, you know,
I know
and
what it
you're
feels
also
like.
Replaced, I know what it feels like.
Just to clarify, in the pshat, that is not pshat. But Chazal, looking forward, meaning that it's not pshat that he buried her for that reason, but Chazal, looking forward in history, said that there were cosmic forces that brought about the reason, the situation which brought about the need for her to be buried there. meaning that God had her die, lo aleinu, in that place, at that time, and put the situation in such a way that she had to be buried there. Let me read you the next midrash, because the idea, we have this idea of kivrat eretz. Kivrat eretz, remember, some of them said it was a distance, others said it was a period of time. Look at the midrash. Umibnei ma lo haleiti ota lekavrasham. Why didn't I bury her where she's supposed to be? Tamud lomar, but derech. Shahayu alai kirchat haderech. It was too far. Really? Too far? Right, how far is it? Not that far. Haya kayitz gadol. It was in the middle of kivrat eretz. It was kayitz gadol. It was in the middle of summer. Va'avak baderech. It was dusty. Have you ever been in Eretz Yisrael in the summertime? What?
She
died in? Are you sure?
According to...
Again, I know I'm going to upset you very, very much when I suggest the following. We have no idea when she died, and we have no idea where her burial is. Okay?
So there's that sign on the road.
There's that sign on the road, right. You know what I'm saying? The fact that someone in the middle of the Middle Ages built a place and called it Kever Rachel doesn't entirely mean definitively that that's actually where she was buried.
It's just Ad
Hayom. Oh, where she's buried, Ad Hayom. Have you seen the Matzeva in Kever Rachel? No, you go in there, what do you see? You basically see a shul. Right? And then they have this big thing. What's under that thing? Anybody know? What? Her matzeva? You would think that if her matzeva was there, they would have left it. Like, we do know that in Maran HaMachpelah. We know Maran HaMachpelah is in Maran HaMachpelah. That we know. Because
yeah.
I spoke to the guy who went in there. But we don't know that Kever Rachel is exactly. We know it's somewhere on the road. We don't know exactly where it is. Yeah. You could all check it on Wikipedia afterwards. Yeah. What? How do we know when she died? I know, like all the women go, there's like a whole thing.
Most of the women go.
A lot of women went. It's a very nice thing. It's a beautiful thing. I have to tell you, it doesn't matter what the day actually was. It's the day that was picked. You know what I'm saying? Like this idea also. It doesn't matter specifically the exact spot. We're praying for an idea. Right? Rachel's burial place is an idea. It's a sense of comfort. It's this sense of...
But we don't know that that spot was Balaam.
No. But do you know definitively, is there archaeological evidence that that is the spot?
I have no idea.
Right, neither do I. But I've heard. It's like a thing. Like, it's well known that Kever David is not in Kever David. You know what I'm saying? Kever Rachel? It doesn't matter. Because we go and pray at what?
At
that, I'm not sure. We know it's in Shechem. We know, and the Manavi says Yosef is buried in Shechem. At that place, no idea. It's Ziyun Kever Yosef. Same thing is true about Kever Rachel. We pray for the Zchut of Rachel Imenu. And it's this exact idea, that the Zchut of Rachel Imenu protects us, and they were reminded, the Bnei Israel, they went past Kever Rachel. And they were reminded of Rachel's terrible suffering, and Yesh Chalifu Latech, that in the end, despite everything, her redemption was in Ben Oni, which Yaakov turned into
Binyamin.
I'll share with you another shot in a few minutes. So it doesn't matter if that's exactly where she was buried. What matters much, much more is the idea of her burial and that she was buried in that place. I just want to finish the Midrash. The Midrash says, in the middle of Kivrat Eretz, the land is like a sieve. Kivrat Eretz means the land is like a sieve, meaning it was summertime, it was dusty, it was dirty. So the land was like, had holes in it when you walked. You couldn't, it was not solid. That's what he says. Therefore, haya kais gadol v'avak baterech, v'lo hayiti yachol lahalotah. I couldn't move her. Mimnei shahaya arona mitmalei avak. It would have not been appropriate to move her. Because her aron, her casket would have been full of dirt. It would not have been nice. So I buried her on the road. Now this is a much simpler reason why he buried her where he buried her. Anybody know why he buried her where she buried her? The Tosefer Bracha, which I'm into now, he mentions this idea. He sort of alludes to it. Okay, how did Rachel die?
In childbirth.
In childbirth, i.e., if we think about it,
messy.
Very, very messy. It was. It's not a. It's a very bloody. Lo bechavod. Mamash lo bechavod. There's an idea of, right? That this idea of burying. Like he mentions it. The Tosefer Bracha mentions it. One second. Before that, he says. In second, there's an idea, especially for women. Mishum dib benashim. The halacha talks about this karuv nivul, Remember also, there's no refrigeration, there's no, there isn't an embalmer, there is no medical whatever. It's not appropriate, it's not nice. He couldn't move her even the time that it would take, because...
It would be fine.
Exactly. It would begin to be mamash no kavod. So he, the situation came upon him, he says, Meita alai Rachel.
To redeem her dignity.
That's right. The then question becomes, what's the real question? Why didn't he move her afterwards? Because that was very, very common back then. And if you buried someone in a certain place, you would bury them temporarily, and then later it was considered totally appropriate to go back and what?
Get the bones.
Be malaket atzamot, and then you bury the bones in kever avot. Right? That was always considered appropriate.
Is it because there was a baby with her? Maybe if there were twins, then it wasn't appropriate for all of them. She had to be with her baby.
Well, the buried baby was buried? Nah, I don't want to go so far. Now we're making stuff. That's a little... There's no evidence. Rashi says that it was a baby born, but not that he died. If there was such a female child. But the question is, how come he didn't... And the answer there, I think, is he put a matzeva already. Like, this place had meaning to him because of her death. It had special meaning to him because that's where she was buried. He didn't want to move her to another place. He didn't want to move her to Kever Avot. He wanted to remain connected to this place. So, and I think that the Midrashim, the idea of it, and the power of it ties together. Like Rina said, this word, Meita Alai Rachel. She died on me. Like, he had all these plans. Clearly, she was his first love. Clearly, he preferred her sons for whatever reason. And he wanted, who knows, to have more children. He wanted to build this home together with her. And their young children as they would grow together. And she died on me. And that place of her death had great power to him. And he placed a matseva there. Something he didn't do any other place other than the great spiritual moments of his life. So why didn't he move her? I think he tells Yosef, I didn't move her because I didn't want to move her.
And then how did we lose it? If it was so significant.
I think we'll find it again.
Well, he left. But if he was too painful, he needed it done.
He left.
And he couldn't go back there.
What's that? Well, he definitely, I'm sure he went back there. That's why he placed the matzeva.
Oh, I mean, he went back to take...
To go move her bones. Yeah. So there are other mepharshim, by the way, who talk about this idea of why didn't he move her to... Or the Ramban talks in Bayechi about this idea. Why did he move her to Kavarak to Marat HaMachpelah? So that's the idea that Laura was talking about, that he says he didn't move her, Ramban says, Kedei Shelo Yikaver Sham Shtei Achayot. Because it's not appropriate to bury two sisters in the same place. I mean, he was married to two sisters, so he stays on this two theme. What do you mean? Because one is not permitted to marry two sisters according to the Torah.
So therefore, it's not appropriate to bury them.
Correct, because it's a reminder of his quote unquote like not official marriage. Okay. Sforno says something that along the lines of what I'm saying. He says what he said to Yosef. Kol kach gavra alai tirdati ve'evli. He said that the tirda on Memchet back there. Okay, Gedera Kibrat Eretz. The tirda, the troubling, the pain, ve'evlati, and my mourning was so great. Shelo atzarti koach laholicha lebeit kvorot beit lechem. I couldn't even take her to Beit Lechem. And that's a very powerful idea. He's trying to tell Yosef. He's saying to Yosef, it's not that he did it out of a sense of lack of honor for your mother. But the reason I buried her where I buried her was because I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. And it wasn't anything else than that. I buried her where I lost her. Okay, and he says, understand, he says, I didn't have any more children after that. I didn't want to have any more children after that. That was it. If you think about it, like in the way of Avot, Abraham had many children later on. Because that was it. Rachel died, and that was it. That was done. My love of my life, and that's why I buried her where I buried her.
I think it's interesting that Yosef also didn't go back and the responsibility of moving her bones could have fallen on them as well. But it seems like maybe there's some understanding that she was not.
I think what's beautiful is, yeah, I agree with you, that what it seems at face value a sign of disrespect, when you go deeper, is a sign of deep respect. A sign of how great his love was for her, that he couldn't move her, he didn't want to move her, and then that place took on significance. It created another place. We don't just go to Marat HaMachpelah, we go to Kever Rachel. because, and Rachel mevaka'a banea, because specifically of his love for her, and because of specifically of his attachment for her, and his inability, his lack of desire, his wanting to set that place as a place that was meaningful to him. I just want to end off with, this is Rav Shirer, in his Hegyona Shel Torah. He deals with this idea, and he mentions the question of why, like that we started with, why did he change the name from Ben Oni to Binyamin? And he says, one second, it's a longer essay, but he says the following. He says that Yaakov wanted to, had this idea of the zchut of Rachel. He didn't take her to Hebron, he says, because if he took her to Hebron, then she could have been buried anywhere. She could have died anywhere. Just like she died, just like he died in Mitzrayim, he died in Egypt, so they brought his bones from Egypt back to the Kever Avot. But he wanted to symbolize that she died specifically in Eretz Yisrael. And that Eretz Yisrael was meaningful to her, and it was meaningful to him. And so for that reason, he buried her specifically in that place. And for that reason also, he changed the name. He said, normally he would have kept the name. But the name itself, according to Rashi, isn't just Ben Oni, the child of my pain, but Binyamin, the child of Eretz Yisrael. And he said that he didn't change what she wanted, he honored what she wanted. That she made it to Eretz Yisrael, she was zochah to have a child in Eretz Yisrael. And he buried her in that place. And he buried her, and he named the child Binyamin, in order to memorialize. Okay, he says, Hinziach et zecher mota be'aretz hazot. He eternalized the fact that she died in this land. And that coming to Eretz Yisrael was specifically meaningful to Rachel. And I think that's the idea of also the Midrash that we end that Rashi quotes later on. Ki yeslecha lefulatech nu'um Hashem v'shavu banim ligvulam. Right? Rachel didn't stam suffer. Rachel suffered because she wanted to bring her children to El Ha'aretz v'El Ha'Nachalah. She wanted to bring her children to Eretz Canaan. And because of her zchut, the major emphasis of her zchut is v'shavu banim ligvulam. Right? Because it was so important to her, it's so important to us as well. So whether it's actually the actual Kever Rachel or not the Kever Rachel is really beside the point. Right? We go and pray by her grave. And we go and commemorate that which was significant to her. Because now we are in a time and in a place we have the zechut to see her greatest desire actualized. V'shavu banim ligvulam. We'll stop here.
Would you also say that?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Why that is and how that is, each person in his own way. You know, Rachel had the greatest suffering. And I think for Yaakov as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had these dreams and these ideas, and he gets to Eretz Canaan, and all of a sudden, like, nothing goes the way he wants to. You know, that's why it says, you know, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shrem. He was Shalem Begufo, Shalem Eman, everything's great, let's go! And then Dina, and then Rachel dies on him, and then the fighting with the Yosef. Right, yes, without a doubt. Okay, it should be Ilu Nishmat Bashabat Yosef. I looked it up before. Right? It should be a memory for her Neshama. And Bizchut Rachel Imenu. Shavu Banim Digvula. We should continue to fight the good fight and ensure that her dream and her desire remains a reality.